Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Did you room with Lane Kiffin when you were here?
I did room with Lane Kiffin. Lane was great. I mean, he's exactly what you'd expect. A fifth-year guy that didn't want to give his job up to a freshman. I totally get it.
Who would?
I get it. And then I started taking reps from him in practice. And his last day as a Bulldog player was when he came out. We were supposed to be in full pads. He came out with shorts and a t-shirt on. And Jeff Tedford says, Lane, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I figured I could come out here in shorts and a t-shirt because you're just going to give all my reps to Dave. And so he leaves practice, disappears. I'm like, okay, Lane, quit, right? Well, Monty Kiffin is Lane's dad.
Sure.
Monty's a coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, defensive coordinator at the time. Monty's not having this. About 30 minutes goes by. Lane comes back out without his helmet, shorts and a t-shirt, and he is now the wide receiver assistant coach.
Oh my God.
That was coaching career began.
So we mentioned several times last week the connection between Arkansas and Auburn, whether it's Gus Malzahn, Chad Morris, Cody Burns. But there's also some connections with the Ole Miss Rebels and the Arkansas Razorbacks. Yes, they're in the same division. Yes, they played, I believe, every year since 1979 or 1980. But there's also some family connections. There's also some connections where you thought the head coach of the Ole Miss at one point in time was going to be your head coach. His dad, if you remember, Monty Kiffin, used to coach at the University of Arkansas. So like last week, you're going to have some connections this week, and you're also going to have a great football game that you can look forward to at 2:30 on Saturday. Got a bunch of things to get into this morning. Whether it's Lane Kiffin, his different dynamic, his different approach to the coaching world as differentiated by Sam Pittman. We got to talk about this Ole Miss offense and what you can do to contain it, and a lot more coming up here on the Morning Rush. 877-377-6963 is the number you can always text or call in. We are always streaming live on hitthatline.com. You can find our video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. We are also on the TuneIn app as well. We're going to have Brett Good, former Arkansas Razorback, join us at 7:20, and then Clay is going to join us at 7 o'clock this morning. Had a doctor's appointment yesterday and was kind enough to shift his time to today. So I asked Clay, I called Clay yesterday, and I said, what do you remember about Monty Kiffin? And Clay, I think he said he was like 23, 24 at the time, so he didn't have a ton of like background knowledge on that. But I did find it interesting because I was going back doing some research in this game that he was your defensive coordinator back in the Lou Holtz era. And that was something that, if you remember, Arkansas had some pretty salty defenses back in those days, Tommy.
Yeah, obviously, I don't remember anything because I wasn't around for much of that. I was a very young boy.
I wasn't either.
And I was a very young boy, but I remember, I think it was Mike Irwin telling the story about Monty Kiffin was smoking cigarettes on the practice field. And people, there were certain elements of people that didn't take kindly to that. And Coach Holtz had told him to not be smoking cigarettes on the practice field. So there was a time where he decided, all right, so if you don't want me smoking on the practice field where people can see it, because they didn't like the fans seeing this, as the story was told one time on the show, he had the defense gather around him in a huddle and circle him up, and he took a knee in the midst of the huddle, and he fired him up a heater. Got him a cigarette going.
Wow.
Where the fans and the public and the other people around the practice couldn't see him. And Coach Holtz came down there and started to scold him for smoking the cigarette in practice after he had been told he couldn't do it, even though his defense was surrounding him in a huddle and hiding him where, you know, they couldn't see him smoking the cigarette.
Do you remember what?
And Monty Kiffin, as Coach Holtz came in there and started, you know, scolding him for this, he said, I'll coach the defense. You coach the offense. Just get on down to the other end of the field or something maybe a little less polite than that. So that was one of the stories I've heard over time. It's probably been embellished a little bit, but I always thought that was an entertaining story, true or not.
He moved on to North Carolina State for a head coaching title after that. And you bring up the cigarette story. You remember what Red Auerbach's post-win ritual was?
The cigar.
The cigar. Yeah. Like, you knew as the game would come to an end, he wouldn't even wait till the conclusion. For those who don't know, Red Auerbach is the longtime coach and general manager of the Boston Celtics, who won titles with Bill Russell, John Havlicek, Larry Bird. The list goes on and on and on. But you knew once Red lit up that cigar, you were done. The game was over. And so something like that. I had never heard that Monty Kiffin story. So that's a fantastic story.
I think it was Irwin that told us that on the air one day. But because he was around and remembers a lot of these Kiffin stories from Monty. He remembers Lane running around as a child. He remembers the Ed Orgeron stories. He's one of the few, him and Nate Allen, that have covered the Razorbacks consecutive years that long enough, going back to the end of Frank Broyles, that could, you know, can still tell us some tales. Tell me a story, Grandpa. They can still tell us the stories of what happened in the mid to late 70s and the early 80s, which early 80s wasn't really that long ago. But, you know, some of these stories that for some of these people and these family connections and these name connections that still intertwine with Razorback football to this day.
So not only do you have the connection with Monty Kiffin being one of your former defensive coordinators at the University of Arkansas, father of Lane, you also have Jeff Livy and Kendall Briles, who are mm-hmm. brothers-in-law, mm-hmm. which is an interesting dynamic. You have the dynamic of Lane Kiffin being oh so close to taking that job, where it seemed like Jimmy Sexton really got in the mix and kind of deterred that and was asking for more money. We don't necessarily get into the full details of that story. You also have a guy that was a big impact in Lane's life, Pete Carroll, who is a graduate assistant under Lou Holtz and under Monty Kiffin, and he credits Monty Kiffin for everything he's learned defensively. There's just a couple of cool connections that you don't necessarily think about when you first glance at this matchup, but the connection I want to dive into more later in the program is how these two guys, particular, I'm talking about Sam Pittman, I'm talking about Lane Kiffin, how they arrived in the coaching world. If you listen to our open, that audio came from David Carr of Watch Stadium, former Fresno State quarterback. That was apparently how Lane arrived to the coaching seat. I just think it's fascinating as we continue to trudge on through the SEC season. There seems to always be a couple of different connections tracing back to the University of Arkansas.
Yep, and a lot of it's because Frank Broyles had such a tremendous coaching tree. People wanted to coach here. It was a great place to start or further your career through the 60s and the 70s, and became a great place to accelerate your coaching career. So there's been a lot of great names. We know what they are, the Gibbs, the Majors. You know, you went through a few of them there, Jimmy Johnson. And you keep going through guys that have coached here. And that's why there's the only major assistant coaching award that's out there that's named after your patriarch of your program.
Yeah, and there's guys, as you mentioned, that are more notable. And then you have some guys that were like, whoa, they coached in Arkansas? Like, mm-hmm. not many people knew that Pete Carroll is a former graduate assistant at the University of Arkansas. And you just keep going on and on and on. And that's the legacy that Frank Broyles established here. And it's a legacy you want to continue. You are excited about having guys like Barry Odom, who's already shown he's worth every bit of the money that he's been paid to this point. And then you saw a glimpse of what the Kendall Briles offense can be last week. Kendall Briles should be licking his chops looking at the defense that he's facing. He's going to have his opportunities to run the ball, hopefully Rakeem Boyd's healthy, and chuck it too. Arkansas's offense should be absolutely excited to see what they can do on Saturday.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Brett, when it comes to the surprise player of the year, I think there's a couple guys you could list. You could say the guy that we were just talking about, Jalen Catalon, his emergence from being a freshman to now what he's doing now. Hudson Clark, a walk-on from Highland Park who's played out of his mind. Davion Warren, who's probably been the most productive offensive player at this point. You could say Traylon Smith, who had over 150 all-purpose yards this past week. Who has been your surprise player this year, Brett?
I think so far, it's not really a surprise, but I think Felipe has seen his growth. I've seen him kind of mature a little bit more. You know, when he was at Florida, he had some big wins down there, and then he had some big losses. And to see him kind of take the leadership, I think that's the guy that you want leading our football team right now. And I think all of them growing and maturing at the same time is big for Arkansas, and that says wonders of what this coaching staff is doing, because they're trying to do it as a team, and I think that's important for us right now.
Brad, I thought it was interesting following that game that there were some Razorback fans that have criticized Felipe Franks following the Auburn performance. Now, I get after the Georgia performance, I get after Mississippi State, but when you go to an opposing venue and you throw four touchdowns, you're 22-30, and you gave your team every opportunity to win, it seems like the criticism of Felipe after the Auburn game was a little unjust, in my opinion. What do you think about that?
I agree. I don't think he was the problem at all in that game. Now, you know, obviously there's a couple throws he'd like to have back, but there was also a storm going on there. You know, we couldn't run the football, nor could we stop their run. So I wouldn't say he was the issue for that game. I thought he gave us a chance to win, and that's all you can ask for from your quarterback.
We have Brett on every Wednesday. We also try to hit on some special teams plays that were critical in each game, and there were obviously several from this last game, Brett, that draws people's attention and interest. So I want to start with the punt block.
You heard him sigh there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but buddy, that's why we have you. Let's start with the punt block where it seemed like Auburn came untouched again, blocked a punt in the end zone. It led to a direct score. What did you see on that play?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, we talked about this after the Georgia game. Georgia blocked one, and then Mississippi State about blocked one. Well, we said they were going to keep coming at it until we fixed it, and we still hadn't fixed it. We had a guy that he came scot-free around the right side of that wall there, and if you go back and look at the film, we should have blocked him. Now, I'm sure he's coached to block him, but for some reason, we're still not picking up those blocks, and I think the statistics is like 78% likelihood of losing a football game if you get a block, much less a block for a touchdown. You can't do that, especially on the road. And it's frustrating to watch as a fan and as a former player, because I'm like, those are simple mistakes that we should already have fixed by now, because they're doing the same type of stuff that Georgia did against us. And when you put that, you know, that flaw on tape, so we're going to get it again this week against Ole Miss, and hopefully we have it fixed.
All right, so you had the score for Auburn there on the block punt. Then Arkansas also missed an extra point earlier, and they started chasing points in the first half. What's your opinion of going for two in the first half under the situation where Arkansas was going for it early? Wasn't a 5-point gap, but the gap that where Arkansas was chasing points in the first half.
I don't have an issue with it in that situation with the weather. Also, you know, you think about the balls being wet and the conditions of the field, and just you kind of get emotional in the football game. So I'm okay with it. It's obviously that, you know, the rule book I think says you don't do it in the first half, but that rule book's not really followed anymore. So I'm good with it. I think that, you know, it's that confidence level that we're trying to stay. You know, we can shove the ball in, we're going to run it, and we're going to throw it. And it's just that offense, he's trying to get that offense going. And I think that's what the main key is trying to get that confidence in that offense where they can go out there and perform better.
Brett, this is Clay. When you guys are at practice and working on special teams in the – getting seven on the line, the illegal formation that I think it's been called five times this year. It was three in that game. How do you fix that? What has to happen in the communication to make sure that you got seven on the line?
I'm really glad you asked that, because that's another one of the big issues that we've had. You think of how many times we've had to repunt the ball, we've lost yardage, and on our kickoff, it's simple. I mean, it's just get on the line. And we had guys that were just yelled at and screamed at and guys taking off special teams because it's not that hard to get on the line. We're not doing all these crazy things where, you know, we're trying to trick them and we've got one guy off. I mean, it's a pretty simple plan, and we've got to just get on the ball, and that's on the guys. That's mental error. They've got to get on the ball, and we've talked about this. If they want to win, they're going to have – the special teams is killing us this year, and we've got to take ownership of that because it's still a third of the football game, and it's hurt them so far from just those little bitty costly penalties that are easily fixed.
Brett Good, former Arkansas Razorback, here with us on the Morning Rush. Brett, when it comes to this coaching dynamic between Lane Kiffin, between Sam Pittman this weekend, there's a lot of differences. Lane's more of the egomaniac. He wants a lot of attention on social media. He's had issues in the past working with people. If you talk to others about Sam in the college football coaching circuit or who he's worked with in the past, there's not a lot of bad things that are said. And obviously they've gone up in the coaching ranks different ways. It looked like Sam worked his way up a little more and Lane was given a lot of opportunities based on his father and stuff. I'm curious, does that play into this game at all? That also in the fact that Lane was really considered, if not close to getting the Arkansas job, Brett?
I think it does, you know, especially for some fans. I don't think it does at all for the players. I think the players are very happy with who we got as a head coach. I think you can see that as them fighting for him. I think for the long term, I think Sam's the better guy as well. So, Lane has had a, you know, he's been, I remember when he was in Oakland, you know, playing against them, and then Tennessee, you know, this short stint there, and then obviously USC and Alabama and everywhere he's been in between. And he's kind of like a party boy of Brett Bielema. And I don't know if he's a long-term fix for a program. You know, he could be there a couple of years, and he may have had a complete attitude adjustment, and he's going to be there, you know, long-term at Ole Miss. We don't know yet. So I think for right now, I mean, I'm happy that Sam's our coach. I think the players are, and I think for them it's just going out there and trying to not get too down from that Auburn loss and then go out there and try and compete, because we've been playing good so far this year. We're playing better than anybody's ever expected us to so far, and we just got to go out and try and get another win.
Brett, what I brought up when Arkansas played Mississippi State is, regardless if Sam says this publicly or privately, there's a little something extra to that game because the Mike Leach factor, that he was at least attempted to maybe become the head coach at Arkansas. Well, Sam beat Mike. Now you get another opportunity in Lane Kiffin, which those talks, Lane won't comment on him. Sam's not really going to comment on him. We know how close, based on what we've heard, Lane was to taking this job. So this game means a little more to him, I think. If Arkansas is able to win on Saturday night, or on Saturday afternoon, excuse me, does that solidify even more Hunter Yurcheck in thinking that he got his right guy?
I think so, and even if we don't come away with a victory, let's say it's a close game, it comes down the wire like most of our games have been coming so far. You know, the Georgia kind of blew out there in the second half, but if we're still competing and we're still doing what we've been doing so far and we get these little things fixed that we need to get fixed, I think the answer is still yes. I mean, let's be honest. At the beginning of the year, nobody picked us to win a SEC game. So we've won one. We've competed in two others. Now everybody's picking us to win, you know, that 3-5 margin that we can compete. I know Vegas has changed their odds a lot of times on a lot of our games. That's kind of a new deal for us. But I think it's personal for Sam because he just loves his guys and he loves coaching. I don't think it's personal for Sam because Lane about got the job. You know, it could be for Lane a little bit, but it's not going to be the same for Sam and his staff, I don't believe.
Brett, you made a comment a moment ago about the team not being too down. Clay and I were talking on his drive back from Auburn on Sunday, and that was one thing Clay mentioned to me, was concerned about where the team was at emotionally following such a, you know, kind of a gut-wrenching way to lose with the way the game ended and the call on the backwards pass and the whistles and all of the things we focused on with officiating this week. I don't know how many times you were in that position in your career, but any concern from you as a former player about where this team is at emotionally, mentally, how they rebound following such a tough way to lose?
Well, first of all, I know they've been coached well, because after we had the win against Mississippi State, that we're going to enjoy it for just a short time, then we're moving on. And that's the exact same thing you got to do when you have a loss. So win or lose, you've got to forget about it at midnight, the night of, and then you move on to the next week. Because if you let this loss get you, it can trickle down to, you know, a couple of losses, and we don't need to do that from having losing seasons after losing seasons. You know, we need to get back out there, and hopefully we can get, you know, a quick strike on the scoreboard, whether it be offense, defense, or special teams. And I think that'll kind of get that picture out of their mind. But when the game starts getting close again, you know, it might creep in a little bit, especially the young players. But I think the staff will be ready for it, just kind of keep them motivated and keep them pumped up. And so you just kind of want to make sure that everybody's just doing your job, and that's all you got to do, and don't worry about it.
How many points does it take this week to win this game?
I think from the past it's going to be about 50, isn't it? 50 or 60. And I don't know
guess.
If we can score that many. But, you know, with our defense, we've also given up a lot less than everybody, you know, thought we were. So maybe if we score 35, 38 points, we can come out with a win.
All right. He's our specialist here every Wednesday on the Morning Rush, Brett Good. He's now part of the team at Henderson Phillips Employer Solutions. Brett, tell everybody what you do now.
Hey, I'm out there grinding. We're selling insurance. We do employee benefits. We do life insurance. We do personal health benefits. I do personal and commercial. property and casualty. So we're just out there trying to build a little book of business for my next 30-year career.
All right. So call Brett directly. Here's his cell phone number, 479-651-2292. 651-2292. You can call Brett directly. He'd love to talk to you about commercial or personal insurance or any employee benefit needs. So if you're the person in charge of that at your company, call Brett, 479-651-2292. And he'd love to come sit down and talk to you about those needs at your company. That's Henderson Phillips Employer Solutions. Brett, have a great rest of the week. Good luck this weekend with the Hogs, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, sounds good. Thank y'all, and go Hogs.
All right, Brett Good with us here on the Morning Rush.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
You think about the bargain that Sam Pittman is as your head coaching right now from a salary standpoint, is making one of the lowest, if not the lowest, salary in the SEC. And to this point, you're really happy and excited about his production. Lane Kiffin is going to command more of a salary because he's been a head coach not only at the collegiate level, but the NFL level as well. I remember when he was the head coach of Las Vegas Raiders now, but back in the day, the Oakland Raiders, and he asked, I think it was Sebastian Janikowski, to try and attempt a 70-yard field goal. And shortly after, the late Al Davis, ended up firing him. But these guys have gone about it different. Lane is an egomaniac. He loves the social media attention. And not to say that's always bad, but a lot of times it seems like he cares more about that than he does actually listening. We know about the Joey Freshwater stuff, him doing stuff with co-eds or whatever. Like, that's just in his background, and you don't know if that's ever going to change. Now, I don't know if Sam Pittman necessarily has a spotless reputation, but it's about as spotless as it gets. When you ask about Sam Pittman in the coaching community, whether it's Kirby Smart, whether it's people at Tennessee, whether it's just people in the SEC, they will tell you but nothing but positive things about Sam Pittman. So the question that you really have to ask yourself is not only who's going to win, what's going to be the outcome on Saturday, but how different are these two head coaches?
Well, one's stable and one's unstable. I think that's the simplest way to put it. And I've got some buddies that are Tennessee fans, and they said that the entire time Kiffin was there. Now, that's his kind of first rodeo when he was head coach at Tennessee. You know, and he had signs put up in the state of Florida. You know, he did just weird stuff. You know, it just was, you know, and he broke rules, you know, violated NCAA rules. And it just seemed like that he was wanting to play with other teams. You know, in other words, I say play with them, mess with them. You know, he was probably immature, and his reputation has always been that, okay, he's good with X's and O's, but he hasn't grown up yet. And, you know, we're still kind of waiting to see, is he grown up or not? You know, what will he be at Ole Miss, which is a fishbowl, a very tiny place? You know, it's and, you know, the rumors were that he didn't spend much time in Oxford, you know, during COVID. The players are gone home, and he can operate, you know, Zoom from anywhere. And where was he? You know, sometimes it wasn't Oxford. So I think the difference between the two is that you always know where Sam Pittman is and what he's going to say. You do not with Lane Kiffin. And it can be good. It can be bad.
And I don't know if I want to necessarily overblow social media impact, because we know that that can be good and bad. You love what Eric Musselman is doing with the social media side of things with the Arkansas basketball program and what he's been able to establish, just him all over the country with these high school kids. But Clay, you brought up an interesting word, stability. And Tommy, I think when I think about stability, I think about someone that can come in and that wants to be at a destination for quite some time. We've heard Sam Pittman echo the statement over and over and over. I want to retire here. I just want to go out with Jamie at Lake Hamilton, and hopefully I've done something good for the University of Arkansas. And I'm paraphrasing to that extent. But I would be shocked if Lane Kiffin, because I think he's the longest tenured he's ever been somewhere, is 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like, can you really see Lane Kiffin lasting in Oxford for five or more years? No. I can't. That doesn't mean he's not going to have success and take a better job. I just don't think he's going to get there and leave the program better than when he, and I know it's pretty bad right now to when he got there, but I don't necessarily see him leaving the program better when he eventually bolts for another job or gets let go for that extent.
Yeah. I give you another major difference between the two. One of them has an agent named Jimmy Sexton. Now, you tell me what Jimmy Sexton is going to do with Lane Kiffin.
He's going to play the cards to ratchet up his contract and leverage any success at all to try to either get more money out of Ole Miss and make them feel like you got to pay to keep him, or he's going to use him as a pawn in other coaching searches, because that's what Jimmy does.
And that's what Jimmy does. And so on the other flip side, Judy Henry is Sam Pittman's agent, which she's a great agent. She's exactly what Sam needs, which is somebody to write a contract and to take care of his needs as far as negotiations with Hunter Yurcich. And they'll be simple and clear cut. And you don't, if you're an Arkansas fan, you don't have to worry about that, because guess what? She's an Arkansas fan.
Clay, is she really an agent or just an attorney?
She's an agent.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure. I didn't know if she just was.
No, she's in the agent business.
Okay, I wasn't clear on whether she was or wasn't.
It's interesting. A few years ago when she got into that business, she wanted to, her company, her law firm, wanted to take out an ad in Hogs Illustrated, you know, proclaiming her as a sports agent. And we talked about that, and then, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't do it. I think she was, you know, the ad was going to be for procurement of players, you know, to represent players. So she definitely is an agent.
She could have been your agent.
Well, who says she's not?
I'm sorry I jumped to conclusions. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, I didn't have to deal with her when, you know, I did have to pay the high price tag, but I didn't have to go through her when, you know, when landing you on this show, you know.
You know we're related, right?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, she's got the same last name as me.
Right, but I didn't know that you were related. So
Cliff and I, are 12th cousins down, you know.
I didn't know there was an attorney in the Henry family.
I knew Cliff's dad, Bob, and of course I know Joseph real well. And Joseph, when he played at Arkansas, are you related to my dad? And I said, yeah, I am. So he thought we were. And so there's kind of a little, there's some times where Cliff and I send emails back and we sign it cousin Clay, cousin Cliff. We are not. I'm not related to.
As far as you know.
but there can't be that many Henrys in Arkansas. We have to be related somehow.
So anyway, I think that you're exactly right, though. Jimmy Sexton plays the game very well. And, listen.
And Lane allows it. That's the other part.
And so do other coaches. And if you're in the business of making money, if that's the ultimate goal, is to let's see how many, you know, if you like Benjamins more than you like Andrews. I mean, because it takes five Andrews to make one Benjamin. If you like the Benjamins, then Jimmy Sexton's your guy. So, I mean, and that's what he does. So, if that's the game you want to play, you get a reputation, and ADs don't appreciate it. And eventually those chickens come home to roost, though.
Yeah, the Florida job comes open, and Lane's done well at Ole Miss, he'll end up there. If the Miami job's open, I mean, anything in Florida, he likes. Mm-hmm. Now, he can't go back to USC. That's a no-no. I doubt he can go to UCLA. So, I mean, his other deal is he liked L.A.
He likes saltwater.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Yep. The big lights of the beach. Yep.
And that, again, goes back to my original point, and it's not just an authentic thought. It's the idea that Lane Kiffin is not going to be in Oxford long term. And I'll go back to something. I was rewatching the Arkansas-Auburn game last night, and one of the things I noticed, the Davion Warren, did he have three touchdowns in that game or two? I think he just had two. I think his first touchdown on the little kind of rollout where Felipe just kind of threw him a dump pass in the flats and he took it in. Mike Woods had a great block on that play. And he ended up scoring. And you saw Felipe hype. You saw a bunch of offensive linemen hype. But I was watching Mike Woods on that play, who is one of the better wide receivers and one of the better players on this team. He had two. And he is out of his mind ecstatic. And he run, and he's fist bumping. He's bumping. And this could have been a guy that's like, all right, we scored, but I didn't score, whatever. And he runs over to Davion and is absolutely hyped. The whole team's excited. One of the things I think that that kind of blends in is Sam Pittman's excitement to be at Arkansas. And what that does, and when you work with someone, regardless of the field it's in, and they're excited to be in the position or being your coworker or being in the title that they have, it can't not bleed over. Now, it might not be the same level. There might even not be players in that locker room that have the same excitement to put on that Razorback uniform as Sam Pittman does putting on the jacket or the polo or whatever. But to me, I just think that's a piece. I don't know if you're ever going to get that at Ole Miss when Lane Kiffin is there. That doesn't mean they're not going to win the football game on Saturday, because that offense is the real deal. But I think that's always important when you are the head coach at the University of Arkansas. Houston Nutt had it. Ken Hatfield had it as a former player. Frank sure as heck had it. You have to want to be here, because that's going to bleed over to some of the less talented players that you have on the roster and take it to the next level. I don't know if Lane's ever going to be able to provide that in Oxford, because like you said, Clay, it didn't even seem like he was there the majority of the time during COVID. I don't know if Sam ever left Fayetteville during all this. He might have, but it probably wasn't for vacation and a bunch of other crap like Lane was probably doing.
No, I don't think that's true. And I will say this. I liked your little soliloquy there, but I need you to clean up the double negatives.
What did I say?
Can't not.
When I say can't not.
You said it can't not help.
Well, see, my journalism degree was in broadcast. It wasn't in editing or writing.
I think in broadcast journalism, they tell you not to use double negatives. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you say is the same as me writing it. So just clean up the double negatives.
I apologize for saying can't not on sports radio. It's like when you're correcting or when I'm spinning together a rundown and I might have a misspelled word or two, a misspelled name or two.
No, I fix those. I'm an editor. That's my job. But I can't undo what you say.
Okay. All right. So see past my grammar ineptitudes at this point. You said the soliloquy of what I just, the statement itself was good. The overall body was good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is that agreeable points that I'm making?
That was good. You were good in what you said. You could have said it better.
Okay.
I forgot because Clay wiped all that out.
Just completely.
He wiped out the cache. All the hard drive is gone now because Clay...
The gist of the statement is, if you're going to be a head coach at the University of Arkansas, you can't just want to be a head coach. You can't just want to be a head coach in the SEC. You have to want to be the head coach of Arkansas, because that's going to pass on to your players.
And listen, I don't think that's just an Arkansas thing. I think it is a Ole Miss, a Mississippi State, a Kentucky, a Vanderbilt thing. I think there are a few schools where you better want to be the head coach at Vanderbilt, because there's challenges that come with that job. Yeah, it's a great city in Nashville, but you cannot not want to take on the challenges, Clay, of the academic part that comes along with Nashville.
Yeah, and I don't know where you. I don't know how to interpret that phrase.
I don't know. I just thought
you're,
that.
You're right,
that
Tommy.
But there's challenges in Starkville with the sleepy old town of Starkville. And listen, there's probably better recruiting grounds in the state of Mississippi that you split with Ole Miss than there is in Arkansas. But there's the challenges of splitting that state with Ole Miss. I mean, I think there's a handful of jobs that have similar challenges that what Sam faces or any other coach at Arkansas faces. It's you're not in it alone at Arkansas. You know, there are jobs that aren't Bama, that aren't Tennessee, that aren't Florida, that aren't Georgia. And
the summary of what we've just said, and I agree with both of you, the summary is we don't really know what Lane Kiffin's ultimate dream job is.
Is it fair to say it's not Ole Miss?
We don't know. There's no way of knowing, because
it clearly wasn't Tennessee.
Get to my point. You know. We do know that this is where Sam wants to be. He's made that clear. Yep. I mean, when he starts to cry, he's you know that he's telling you what's in his heart. Yep. And The other thing that we know is anytime Lane Kiffin opens his mouth, we don't know whether he's telling you the truth or telling you just what he wants you to think.
Yeah.
With Sam, it is real. Every single thing. And that's Sam Pittman. He is the most real person, the most real coach that I've ever been around. And, you know, it's not fair to compare anybody to Frank Broyles, but when Frank told you something, you understood that is exactly the way he felt, and he would give you the reason why. And you took it to the bank. Arkansas fans took it to the bank that he was a Georgia Tech grad. Georgia Tech was going to call. He was not going to go.
Yeah.
And you had confidence.
I don't think Sam's going to venture.
The sports information director at that particular time was my brother, Butch, under Coach Broyles. And he had a written statement that he kept in his wallet. Anytime there was a job open, he was instructed when somebody called, do you think, sports writer or sportscaster, do you think Coach Broyles is interested in Florida? You think Coach Broyles is interested in whatever? And he would read that statement. And everybody knew that's the way Coach Broyles felt. And you didn't have to call him to ask him. Butch could just read it.
If Pitt State calls, I don't think he's going.
You stole my point, Dad.
Now, I'm going to tell you, Chicken Mary's and Chicken Annie's is a pretty good lure. I mean, that's pretty tough to turn down the fried chicken you can get in Pittsburgh, Kansas. But I don't think he's going.
How far is Pitt State from here?
I don't know, but they got great fried chicken.
Three hours. It's not that far.
So it's worth the drive. I have a friend's father, a listener's father, that went to Pittsburgh Steak and has told me about the chicken several
times. That's what the first thing they ask you, are you a Chicken Mary's or are you a Chicken Annie's guy? I mean, and I was like, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And you can say both.
Yeah, let's try them all. Let's try them all.
And here's the other thing about this whole just kind of conversation we're talking about, and we'll kind of wrap it up with this. So everything we've been talking about is Sam wants to be here, Sam wants to be here. The players love him, past, current, whatever. But the other thing is, through three games, is there anyone that hasn't at least bought in a little bit to this point? Like, I know there's a long season left. A lot of can happen in seven games. But through three games, he's proven this opportunity that you as an athletic department, you as a fan have given him, that he's worth it. Now, again, there's a lot of games left. There's a lot of seasons left. We'll see what happens. We'll see what transpires. But, I mean, if you're looking at the Arkansas football program right now, based on where it was with Chad Morse, based on the year prior with Brett Bielema, is there anyone that wants to call in at 877-377-6963 and say that they're disappointed through three games? You will not find a soul in this state that has been... Now, you might be disappointed in the outcome on Saturday, which I understand. You might be disappointed that you feel like you should be 2-1, but relative to where you've been, there should not be a single complaint from a single Arkansas fan out there.
You're
about
asking for
Sam
no
Pittman.
Complaints.
You're welcome to lie and call in. You're welcome to. You're not going to have anything tangible to tell us on this sports radio show that you should be bickering or angry about that this program, based on where it's been.
I wish I had Ruskin's bullhorn. All right, y'all, special teams. I'd like to complain about special teams. I'll hang up and listen.
Special
teams. He's the coach. But I wish you wouldn't put the backup quarterback in on the goal line. Yeah.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
What should be Wednesday? Before we do that, I just want to recap this Hog Update stuff real quick. Arkansas got two recruits yesterday, one in basketball, one in football. Patrick Foley, who is the 14th best punter in the country, has committed to the Arkansas Razorbacks. And then Euler forward transfer Kamani Johnson, the younger brother of Dakari Johnson, who played for Kentucky, has also decided to transfer to the U of A. We heard from Mike Woods last night that Rakeem Boyd has apparently looked good in practice. I don't know if the coaching staff wanted to get that out, but that's good to listen and hear from as a Razorback fan. Let's get in to What's Your Beef Wednesday.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want
gotta complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
What's Your Beef Wednesday? Get them in, 877-377-6963. Tommy, I will let you start. What is your beef
you
on
want me to start?
This Wednesday?
Because I got a list like longer than a Dollar General receipt over here. So you want me to start? All right. I got beef with people that think me and you can't argue on yesterday's show and still be friends. Because that's all I heard yesterday is, are you and Ty going to be okay? I listened to the podcast. Are you and Ty? Is Ty getting fired? What's going on with you and Ty? I mean, that's all I heard yesterday. First of all, thanks for listening to the show. Second of all, thanks for listening to the podcast and the ever-growing HitThatLine.com podcast network. We really appreciate it. But yes, Ty and I can have heated exchanges on the show, and things are just fine. And we appreciate everybody else on Sports Talk Radio talking about it and discussing it. But yeah, Ty and I can have words on the air, and everything's just fine.
It's weird how sometimes you can take a conversation on the air, and then when you go off the air, things can actually be talked about.
Yeah, I mean, just because we have an argument, you know, it'd be like me and Laura having an argument at home, and it's always going to end in divorce. No, that's not how it works. That might be how she wishes it worked, but that's not how it works. So we appreciate your concern. We appreciate your worry. We appreciate your calls and your letters. But no, Ty and I are just fine. We're A-okay. Back at it here today.
A-okay.
We're A-okay. You know, it happened in hour one yesterday. Hey, listen, it's a good reason to go back and listen to the podcast from yesterday. It's called Talk Radio, folks. And we're glad you're here. So that's my
Somebody should try getting up at 5 a.m. and doing a radio show.
Exactly.
And figuring out if y'all can be nice the whole time. Yeah.
And if we were nice the whole time, it would be boring. You know,
it would be pretty bad radio. I heard what I was headed to the doctor yesterday and was listening to y'all, and I thought, it's pretty good. I hope he hits him. I'm not going to say who I hoped hit who, but I hoped somebody hit somebody. So it'd be fun, you know, get a little bit more entertaining. There was a time Chuck and I did a 3-4 hour show, and it was very contentious, and I got out to practice the next day, and Mike Irwin came up to me and he said, did you guys duke it out?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what do you mean? He says, it sounded like y'all were fighting. I said, it's just a verbal jab. I said, he took a point, and I took the opposite point, and he didn't like it, and I didn't like what he didn't like, and we went from there. Yeah. I said, he wadded up his show prep and threw it at me, but I dodged. He didn't hit me. But, that's just the way it is.
Were you really going to leave the studio?
You're telling me that you put someone on a radio show for 3 hours who are 19 years apart, who have different life experiences, who grew up in different parts of Arkansas, and they might have a disagreement about something?
And you got one that's brilliant, the other one's the imbecile.
Yeah.
You want to list who that? You want to list who those are? Or you just want to keep that where it's at?
Yeah,
let's just keep that where it's at. All right, Clay.
One of them had a double negative earlier in the show.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, hey, one of us got
shame.
In. One of us had scholarships at the University of Arkansas. I didn't get cum laude or whatever the heck it is, but I did.
Cum laude?
Whatever. How do you say that?
One of us graduated ITEP Akega.
371. 371. All right, Clay, I tried to discontinue this yesterday, but during the break you said you had to touch on it, so just be as brief as you can.
It's my beef. Yeah, it's my beef. And I mean, Jason Autry is now in my, official's wall of shame. And I'm going to go back to 1960 Ole Miss, Tommy Bell. You guys didn't even know of that name, right?
Never heard of
him. Yeah, I was talking with Pat Jones and Barry Switzer about this because they were both in the stadium, in War Memorial Stadium. Ole Miss, number two ranked, was kicking a field goal with time running out. And Tommy Bell, the referee, blew the whistle and blew the play dead. They snapped it anyway and kicked the field goal.
which that had not been done too many times. You know, it's done all the time now. You know, the kicker goes ahead and kicks it and gets a free practice. Well, he makes the kick. Well, it doesn't count because the whistle was blown. So they give him a do-over. And the guy kicks it, and it's 30 yards left. Tommy Bell, the referee, as soon as the ball's kicked, signals good and turns and runs out the other end of the stadium. I mean, he didn't make it. I mean, it wasn't even close. But he felt like, well, he blew it by blowing the play dead previously, so we're just going to make it good, right? That's what all good officials do. When they make a mistake, they just make it right. Well, you don't make it right. You don't. You do
unless
what
it helps Arkansas, right, Clay?
No, I mean, I just think that's you know it stinks when they make a terrible error and then they try somehow to do a makeup call.
Yeah.
And it just no. I mean, it's just but now they could have made it right at Auburn. They could have made it right at Auburn. They could have given Arkansas the ball.
But Jason Autry didn't have enough time left in the game to make it right.
No, but they could have made the decision. You know, it's like, hey, but the replay booth wasn't going to let him make it right.
Yeah.
I mean, they were not going to give the ball to Arkansas.
Yeah. You saw the look on Jason Autry's face, though, when he saw it on the monitor, when he saw his mistake, when he saw he had screwed it up. I mean, you saw the look on his face. That was the look of a guy that said, uh-oh, I'm not working the SEC championship game this year.
Hey, the
uh-oh.
First time...
I'm working a lot
time,
of games in Nashville now.
The first time that I was at a basketball practice, I think I was in about the seventh grade, and the coach had a whistle. I have hated whistles ever since. I mean, there's nothing good that can come from a whistle.
Yeah.
It's just... It is loud. It is a shrieking sound. And when they're blown at the wrong time, it is a bad, horrible thing.
Yep.
I mean, you don't give people you don't give them a whistle unless they're really good. And that guy, he didn't deserve his whistle.
I had a segment dedicated to the worst calls that Arkansas has received over the course of years, but we stayed away from that. Clay, if you want to eventually come down to that, when we hit back summer, we'll be happy to do that.
Okay,
I got a full
my
segment.
Wall of shame, yeah.
Derek in Fayetteville text in, guys. He says, my beef is when cashiers or workers at a gas station are talking on their phones and I'm trying to tell them what I need. Yeah, that can be quite frustrating when someone's supposed to be doing their job and they're not doing their job. I think that... That's something that I can definitely get on board with. All right, so my beef, the U.S. News came out with the 2020-2021 best places to live. And once again, Fayetteville is top 10, number 8 on this list. The only other SEC school that's really close is Nashville. And Nashville is not really, I don't qualify. I know Vanderbilt is in the city, but that's not really a college town or an SEC city, so it's a little unfair. So I guess my beef is this morning is 8's a little too low to me. Now, I can see Charlotte being above. I've been told that Fort Collins is a fantastic place.
Yep, Fort Collins, Loveland is pretty sweet.
I was not that impressed with Austin. To me, I don't know.
Too many people.
Yeah, Denver's pretty cool. I'll get online with that. I've heard good things about Boulder. I just don't know why Des Moines, Iowa, is it, am I saying that right?
Des Moines?
Yeah, is above Fayetteville.
What about Norfolk, Arkansas?
It's you know what, Clay? It did not make the list, but I think a lot of people
but it should.
In your area would probably give that
so
up.
Let me ask you a question, because you two guys have lived in Northwest Arkansas, and you have in recent times. Clay, it's been a few years now, but not too long since you've lived in Fayetteville, a couple of years. Do you put Fayetteville and then Benton County together, or do you keep Washington and Benton County separate in your mind?
So for many years, you know, we lived in Rogers, and I worked in Fayetteville, and I consider them to be one and the same. I didn't think, okay, I'm leaving town to go to work. You know, and I think people that live in Rogers that go to Fayetteville to work, and people that live in Fayetteville and go to, say, Bentonville to work,
yeah,
they don't think they're leaving, you know, the area. They're it's, But, I think a lot of us consider Northwest Arkansas to be great because the University of Arkansas is there, and the love of the Razorbacks. But you could take that out of the equation, and it would still be a wonderful place to live.
It is. It's one great big place. I think it depends on which end of that you live on. If you live in Fayetteville, you probably separate that. If you live in Benton County, it's all one big place.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it just depends on that.
On which side of that line you're on.
But this is a good recruiting tool for Moss, for Van Horn,
absolutely,
for Pittman when they continue. And the attention that you get to that is a big thing, especially when Arkansas outside of this state is skewed and looked at in a different light.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.